Well, good morning. It's a pleasure and it's an honor to stand up here in front of you today, this morning. And on behalf of my fellow graduates and everyone else in the school, I want to extend our deepest gratitude and sincere thanks to the Sunset Church of Christ for all that you have done for us, including being our spiritual fathers and mothers and even grandmothers and grandfathers for us. We couldn't do it without you guys, without all that you do and all of your encouragement that y'all have given us. And so we're greatly indebted to you guys. This morning I'm excited to get to speak to you on the subject of a growing faith, or as the lesson is titled, Faith to Grow In. When we look at this subject this morning, we're going to look at a biblical example of somebody who had great faith, who his faith grew all along the way. And really, there's no better person to look to during this than Abraham. Abraham was, if you will, the father of faith. He was the poster child of faith. And so that's who we're going to look at this morning. He is the person that you and I can really look to and emulate a growing faith. Believe it or not, everybody has, quote, faith. But who or what we put that faith in is what makes the difference. So where is your faith? Is your faith in yourself? Is your faith in your job or your significant other? Or even is your faith in your faith? Or do you have a biblical faith in God? We're required to examine ourselves to see where our faith is. After examining yourself, you might find out that your faith is not in God as it should be, that it might be in one of these things or in another. And then you might start to think, well, I want to put my faith in God. I want to be able to do that, but I just don't have that much to give. To that, Jesus says, faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And sometimes that mountain is you. Faith, the beginning of genuine faith, can do incredible things in your life because of God who's behind it all. But it was never meant to stay the size of a mustard seed. You see how small that is? It was never meant to stay that size. It was meant to grow from that point forward. When we look at the purpose of a seed, even seeds, the purpose of them is to grow. And so it's obvious that that is the need. But what's difficult for me, where I have trouble, is figuring out how or in what way faith is supposed to be growing. So thankfully we have a biblical example like Abraham that we can look to among many others. But this morning we're going to focus on him. And to do so, we're going to look in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. That's where we find ourselves this morning. And here in this section of text, Paul likens a growing faith to Abrahamic faith. And for very good reason. Read with me Romans chapter 4, verse 12. Says, to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. First, we see here that you and I are required to have a walking faith. Our faith was never meant to be stagnant, not supposed to be not moving, if that makes sense. The kind of faith that God requires of us to have is movement, is growing. Movement how, though? Well, what we're going to do this morning from here and through the rest of it, we're going to look at Abraham, and then we're going to look at how it pertains to us. When we look at Abraham here, in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, go from here, from all that you know, from your country, to a nation, a land that I will show you, that I want you to get to, and I will bless you and make of you a great nation. So Abraham went. He didn't know exactly where he was going, but he knew the end result if he did. He didn't know all the steps along the way, but he knew God wanted him to go. So he went. Let's just imagine, just for fun, that Abraham had wore a Fitbit or some kind of step calculator, okay? Abraham's journey was roughly about 2,000 miles, give or take a few hundred, which really at that point, that's still a lot. 2,000 miles, though. There's 2,000 steps in 1 mile. So in 2,000 miles, it's over 4 million steps. 4 million steps. And Abraham could have looked at that and said, God, look how many steps I've taken for you. Look at how far I've gone. But here's the thing. It was not in the amount of steps. It was not in the amount of miles that he traveled. What mattered was that step of faith in the beginning that led to the journey and that grew him all along the way. When we look at ourselves, we never know exactly what's going to happen in life. When we step out and go into new situations and new things, for example, we got high school kids getting ready to go off into college, or college kids getting ready to go back after the summer. But during the summer, you're going to be making preparations, getting ready to go. And it's a pretty exciting time. But I can honestly tell you this. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know every little detail along the way. You don't know exactly every circumstance and situation that's going to pop up. And there will be some hard times. There will be some difficult circumstances. But through those, you're required to keep walking as a Christian. To keep walking in your purpose that God has given us in our lives. That is our goal. I can use our SIBI students as a great example, a good illustration for this part right here. A lot of us, had no idea how we were going to get here. Had no idea how we were going to stay here financially, with housing, with every bit of detail like that. But a number of them stepped out in faith, knowing that God was able to take care of them. And look at them now, they're here. They're getting ready to graduate, you know, unless something happens in the next week, we'll see. But they're here, they made it. That step of faith in the beginning led to them growing as a Christian, growing in their ministry, and being prepared to be sent out into the world to work for the kingdom. And that's the other part of it too. Some of us don't really know exactly what we're doing right after. Yet once again, we're going to have to step out in faith and know that God is in control, and know that we can face the circumstances and keep fulfilling our purpose as Christians. Maybe in work, some of you guys are just getting so bogged down with the load, with the heavy burden that it is, and it just seems that you just can't go much further. Keep walking. Keep pushing through. Maybe you're a parent who is just getting so overwhelmed with balancing your own life, your kid's life, your spouse, and everything else in between. And it just doesn't seem that the circumstance will allow you to keep going. Keep walking. Keep going. In Galatians 5:25, Paul says that we are to keep in step with the Spirit. What exactly does that mean? Well, prior to that, he lists things that are opposite of the Spirit. They are, as he says, of the flesh. He lists things like idolatry, impurity, sexual immorality, anger, divisions, and more. But to counter those, he lists the fruit of the Spirit. Among those is faith. But if we keep in step with the Spirit, we don't just grow in faith. We grow in all of the fruit that is there. We grow in all of that that represents and gives us a Christ-like character. When we keep in step with the Spirit, when we keep moving forward, we grow in our Christ-like character. And that's part of what we are supposed to be doing. There will be situations that arise. There will be things that confront you and your faith, but you have to keep moving forward through it. The more that you have walked and kept in step with the Spirit, the easier it will be to overcome those things that confront you in your life. If you somehow had a spiritual Fitbit, how many steps of faith would it say that you've taken this past day, this past week? What would your average steps be this past month, or even this past year? We need to keep moving forward through the circumstances and forward in Christ-like character. It may seem impossible at times. It may seem like we just can't do it, but we are called to have a faith in God that He can, in fact, do the incredible. Look with me in verse 17 of Romans chapter 4. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. We're called to have an incredible faith in God. What does this really mean, though, this phrase, called things into existence that did not exist? It can seem pretty confusing. It almost seems like a paradox or something. But what helps me better understand it is I think back to creation, to the very beginning of everything, when God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Obviously, there was no light before that, so he had to call it into existence. He had to cause it to be. And all through creation, he continued to do that. God continued to work in this way. And then later he did it with Abraham by saying, "I will make you the father of many nations." Look at Abraham. This is a guy who had zero children. No children at all. And yet God is telling him that he's going to be a father of a great nation, of many nations. And as Romans 4:17, what we just read here says, "I have made you the father of many nations." You and I can stand on this side of the promise and look back to it all to see how it happened and to see that it did, in fact, happen for Abraham. God was able to do incredible things through Abraham, who had no children, into a father of many nations. I imagine Paul thinking here that this is just huge. This is incredible that God can do this. But what is our part, you and I? Where do we fall into this? Maybe you're not even a Christian, and you're thinking, "Do I even have a part in this?" And the answer is yes. Maybe you're not a Christian because you think God could not possibly forgive this much sin. He has to know all that I've done. He has to know all the hate, all the anger, all the lies and the cheating and everything in between. And even hate and anger towards God himself. Why and how could God possibly forgive this much? May not think that he can, but this text here says that he does, that he can create something in you, create a holy and righteous person where there was not one before. Amidst my horrible and ugly sin, it's incredible that God can call me to be righteous, that he can forgive my sins. You might ask, how much faith do I need for that to happen? To which again, Jesus says, with faith the size of a mustard seed, I can do incredible things in your life, and that's all I need. But it's supposed to grow from there. That is the intention. When you hear his word, if you trust in what he says, and then if you obey his gospel, then he will call in you to be a new creation. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, just like when light was a new creation, he calls a righteous person in you as a new creation. So as Christians, where do we go from there? What do we move forward to? We as Christians might have times where we think, "Well, I don't feel saved. Or I don't feel any different. I still feel just as sinful and just as dirty as I was the day before. Is God even at work here?" Our salvation has never, never been contingent upon how we feel or what we do. Our salvation has been contingent on God, who all of this incredible work comes from. We are called to have an incredible faith that God does work beyond our feelings, the way that we feel. In Romans 6:11, it says that we must consider ourselves. It's an imperative. It's a command that we must consider ourselves to be righteous. Maybe we need to work on that area, you and I, in our lives. It takes incredible faith to accept what God has made us into and what we have become in him. We tend to choose to believe God's promises when you and I can figure it out, when we can figure out how he does it or how he will do it. But what about the times when we cannot figure it out? Are you still going to choose to believe on the basis of his word? In those times, we don't need to just believe just because you and I can figure it out. A growing faith is one that is trusting in God's promises to do the incredible. despite how the situation may seem. And that's the next kind of faith. The next kind of faith is a fact-facing faith. Here in verse 19, this is what it says. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Think back to the promise that God had made Abraham. To a guy that couldn't have children, to a wife that couldn't have children, yet God said that you will be a father of many nations. Abraham kept waiting and waiting and still waiting 75 years after the promise was made to when he was about 100 years old, still waiting for the promise. Most people know what it means just after a few years of trying to have a child that it's not going to work. Despite the common knowledge of the time, despite what the experts had to say, despite how everything looked, Abraham could even look at his own body to see that it was as good as dead, reproductively, physically. He could say, well, there's not much here to work with. And he could even look at Sarah and say, there's not much there either. But despite all of that, God chose Abraham. And Abraham chose to not have faith in an earthly way, but to have faith in a divine way. That there was a divine way that this could, in fact, happen. And, as we know, it did. You might look at ourselves the same way in our situations. We can honestly look at what's going on with ourselves and around us. We can face those facts and yet still trust in who God is and what He does. You can face the facts that you're not the best or that your situation is not the best. But true faith can face the facts and know God is in control of what's going on. You might find yourself almost always getting the raw end of the deal. You might find yourself not ever getting a chance to prove yourself like everyone else gets to. Not getting a fair chance to do things in life. We might even cry out to God when we look at everything around us and say, God, why is this happening? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why are people hurting? Don't you care, God? Don't you want to step in and serve true justice? Don't you want to act in this? But what we must understand is that God is, in fact, working. Despite what it looks like to us, despite how it may seem, every door might look shut to us. Every way might look closed off. But as a Christian, you and I can still choose to have faith in what God has promised for me. You and I can still choose to have faith that God can help me accomplish my purpose as a Christian, as we are growing, as we are walking on in faith. We can face the facts of our situations and know that I can still accomplish my purpose as a Christian. And if God chooses to act in a way that I think is best, you know, for me and my situation or something going on around me, then great. But what if He doesn't? What if He doesn't? What then? Yeah, God can do incredible things for me and in my life and in the world around me. But those incredible things that God does are always in accordance to His will. And His will includes, what I know, at least two things. Getting the most people saved and bringing glory to Him. That we know. And that we can have faith in, that God is working through me, around me, and even without me, to accomplish that purpose. So where is the ability to grow? Where is the power at to make it happen? It's not within ourselves. And it's certainly not within our faith. The power behind it all comes from God. I want to read from verse 21 here in Romans chapter 4. Verse 21 says, Abraham, fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. That is why, verse 22, his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham didn't have faith in the fact that God made promises. Abraham had faith in the fact of who God was and in the power behind the promises that he made. His ability to keep those promises. Well, Lord, this all looks so huge, so overwhelming. How can I do this? I don't have that much faith. I'm not there yet. But God reminds us through his word that it's not the amount of faith that brings the impossible within reach. It's the power of God behind it all that is readily available even to the smallest amount of genuine faith that, as we know, is supposed to grow from there. Genuine biblical faith says God can help me keep a moving faith. That God can and did call things into existence that did not exist before, especially in myself. And that God is in control of the situation in the world around me. And that I can accomplish my purpose as a Christian. And my God will continue to help my faith in him grow in all these points. And in many other aspects in life as well. If I'm willing to step out and put what faith I have in him. Paul quotes Habakkuk in chapter 1, verse 17, and he says that the righteous shall live by faith. You and I know that life goes in all sorts of different directions and takes all sorts of twists and turns. So why should our faith not be continuing on as well? If I'm to be living by faith, then my faith needs to continue to grow as well until my time, till my walk is up and God calls me home. That's the goal. Do some of you need to take that first step of growth in faith, to move to God and allow him to do the incredible in your life by forgiving your sins? Even if it doesn't look like he could, that it would take an incredible power to do so, he can. God has the power to do that, and I'm encouraging you this morning to take that first step. If you are a Christian, let's continue to grow in our faith. Maybe some areas other than these have come to your mind this morning where you need to grow in your faith. I'm encouraging you to do that. Maybe you need prayers or encouragement of us, of the church. We want to be a people that grows together in our faith. So let us help you. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we invite you to come now as we stand together and sing.
The joy of the Lord will be my strength.